Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're zeroing in on something pretty exciting, a technology that could genuinely shake up mining, especially for iron ore and, you know, those critical minerals everyone's talking about.
Yeah, and it's really driven by two big things, isn't it? This huge global push for green steel and the unavoidable fact that water's getting seriously scarce in mining areas.
Exactly. So what have we got to work with today?
We've got two main sources. First up, there's an investor presentation from an Australian company called Dryflow Magnetics. They're outlining their dry magnetic separation technology.
Okay.
And second, we have a news report. It's actually from 2018 about Vale, you know, the mining giant buying up a company called New Steel for quite a lot of money. They're also in this dry processing space.
Right. Okay. So the mission for this deep dive is pretty clear then. We need to get our heads around what this dry magnetic separation really means.
Mm-hmm.
How does Dryflow's tech work? What are the benefits, the applications? And crucially, what does that big Vale acquisition tell us about the future here? I have a feeling there's some real aha moments hidden in here, especially around like unlocking stranded resources and the environmental side.
Absolutely. Let's start with that green steel imperative that the Dryflow presentation talks about. I think understanding why everyone suddenly needs higher grade iron ore is, well, it's fundamental.
Yeah, definitely. So steelmaking right now, it's a massive source of greenhouse gases, isn't it? Something like 8% globally, Dryflow says.
That's the figure they use. And the pressure is seriously mounting to decarbonize. You've got things like the EU's carbon border adjustment mechanism.
Fly to CBAM.
And China expanding its carbon cap and trade system to include steel. So it's not just, you know, nice to have anymore. There are real economic teeth behind this push.
Okay, so how does that link to the ore itself?
Well, the greener ways of making steel, things like electric arc furnaces or using hydrogen for direct reduction, they work much, much better with really high-grade iron ore. We're talking 67% iron content or even higher. And interestingly, magnetite, that's a specific type of iron ore, is actually preferred over the more common hematite for these new processes. It just has better properties for it.
And this is where the money comes in, right? The presentation highlighted a pretty chunky price difference.
It really did. Getting ore up to around 65% iron content gets you maybe $30 more per ton compared to the standard grade.
Wow.
But if you can hit that DRI grade, the direct reduced iron grade, so 67% plus, that's another $15 per ton on top.
So a significant incentive.
A huge incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And forecasts, even ones from Vale cited by Dryflow, show demand for this high-grade DRI stuff is just set to grow and grow.
And Australia is sitting on loads of this magnetite, but it's lower-grade stuff, right? That's the catch.
That's the crux of it. Billions of tons, potentially worth over $1 trillion, according to Dryflow, but a lot of it averages maybe 20, 30% iron.
So you have to upgrade it.
Exactly. Technologies like Dryflow's, these upgrading methods, they become absolutely essential if you want to actually tap into that massive resource and meet the green steel demand. Otherwise, it just stays in the ground.
Okay, so that's the demand side high grade ore needed for green steel. But you mentioned the other big driver, water.
Yeah, the water crisis in mining. And this is quite stark. The Dryflow presentation points out that over half, more than 50% of global mining happens in water-stressed regions.
That's huge.
It is. And traditional wet magnetic separation, which is, you know, the standard way to boost the iron content, it uses incredible amounts of water, billions of liters a year, for a decent-sized operation.
Which obviously isn't feasible everywhere.
Not at all. Dryflow says there are billions of tons of magnetite ores just stranded, basically unusable, because they're in dry, remote places with no water source nearby.
Right. And even if you do have water, dealing with the leftover wet, muddy, wasted tail tailings is a massive headache, isn't it? Environmentally and financially.
A huge headache. Those wet tailings dams are increasingly controversial and costly to manage safely.
So how do we square this circle? Access the ore, but without the water problem. This is where Dryflow comes in, I guess.
Exactly. Dryflow Magnetics, this Australian company we mentioned, with their patented dry magnetic separation tech, they've even got some government grant funding behind them.
And the key is, it's dry.
Completely dry. Operates entirely without water. That's the core claim. And the real insight here is thinking about all those stranded assets, those billions of dollars of minerals, locked up purely because of water scarcity.
So this isn't just a tweak. It's potentially unlocking whole new mining regions.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Especially in those arid areas. And they're keen to stress it's not just for iron ore. They reckon the tech works for hematite, copper, nickel, cobalt, rare earths. A whole suite of critical minerals.
That's quite a broad claim.
It is. And they also push the environmental benefits hard. Things like reprocessing old tailings piles to pull out valuable stuff left behind.
Okay, that makes sense.
And also removing harmful stuff like pyrite and pyrrhotite, which can cause acid mine drainage. That's a big win for managing pollution long term.
And the market size in Australia alone, they mentioned over $1 trillion.
That's the potential commodity value they flag for the addressable market, yeah. And they reference a McKinsey report, too, just to underline that this water stress issue in mining is a global problem, not just an Australian one.
All right, so waterless, wide applications, environmental pluses. Sounds great, but how does it actually work? It feels a bit like magic dry separation.
Yeah, well, they describe it as high-intensity solid-state magnetics. Think less like electromagnets that need power to switch on and off, and more like incredibly strong permanent magnets built right into the processing line.
Okay, solid state, so always on.
Sort of, yes. And it's mechanical separation, they say, with low scale-up risk. They have this patented system of stacked magnets right there on the conveyor belt carrying the ore.
On the belt itself, not in like a big drum or something.
Right on the belt. This creates what they call a dynamic induction zone along the belt. As the dry crushed ore passes over it, the magnetic particles, the valuable stuff, get pulled one way, and the non-magnetic waste rock, the gang, goes another.
Huh. So no water slurry needed at all. Just dry ore, powerful magnets on a belt, and it sorts itself out.
That's the principle. Continuous dry separation.
That is pretty different. And they can adjust the strength or something to get different grades. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. They highlight the flexibility. They can apparently tune it to produce various concentrate grades, maybe a standard 55% iron, or they can really push it up to that premium 67% plus DRI grade we talked about.
Which lets miners target specific markets.
Exactly. And think about the waste product, the tailings. If it's dry, it's basically just rock.
Uh-huh.
Much, much easier and safer to handle and store than huge ponds of wet slurry.
Yeah, that makes immediate sense. Less risk, less land use probably too.
Definitely.
Now, Dryflow isn't just planning to sell these magnet belts, are they? They have this separation as a service model mentioned in the presentation.
Yes, which is quite a smart way to go about it, actually. It avoids miners needing huge upfront capital investment.
How does that work?
They've teamed up with big names like Siemens and Loesch, who handle things like the grinding part of the process. So Dryflow offers a kind of a complete package, a turnkey solution.
So the miner brings the ore, and Dryflow and its partners handle the processing.
Pretty much. It's like a toll processing model. The mining company pays Dryflow a fee for every ton they process through the system.
Ah, okay. And Dryflow gets predictable income from that.
Exactly. They're aiming for long-term contracts, like 5 years, plus another 5-year option. The presentation suggests a target fee of around, say, US $3 to $5 per ton processed, with potentially high gross margins for Dryflow.
And partnering with Siemens and Loesch helps them roll it out faster, I suppose.
Yeah, it makes deployment much more scalable than if they tried to do everything themselves.
Which brings us nicely to South Australia, which the presentation really highlights. They want to be a green iron hub, but they have that water problem we discussed.
A big water problem. Billions of tons of iron ore, apparently, just sitting there undeveloped for ages because there's no cost-effective water solution.
So Dryflow could be the key.
They're certainly positioning themselves as the key to unlock those specific regions, places like Braemar, Gawler, the Leyland Peninsula are mentioned.
And is there support for this kind of thing there?
Oh, yes. The presentation notes there's significant federal and state government funding available in SA, specifically aimed at these kinds of green industry and innovative resource solutions.
So the need is there, the potential solution is there, and there's even funding available. It sounds like a strong alignment.
It really does.
Yeah.
And Dryflow seems to be moving quite fast commercially. They mentioned having patents granted in Australia and progressing elsewhere. Their prototype has been validated by independent groups like UTS and Bureau Veritas using real ore samples from potential customers.
That's important validation.
Critical. And they list partnerships not just with the equipment guys like Siemens, but also research bodies like CSIRO and, crucially, several actual mine operators.
So they're getting traction on the ground. Okay, Dryflow sounds like it has a lot going for it, but let's circle back to that Vale deal. New Steel, 2018, $500 million. That wasn't small change.
Not at all. A huge validation for the concept of dry magnetic separation back then. Vale, being the world's biggest iron ore producer, buying New Steel specifically for their fines dry magnetic separation, or FDMS tech.
And they got patents in, what, 56 countries with that deal?
That's right. Vail clearly stated they wanted this tech to boost their own production of high-grade pellet feed, especially with China demanding cleaner ore. It showed the majors were definitely looking seriously at dry processing.
Okay, so Vail bought FDMS 6 years ago. How does Dryflow claim their tech stacks up against that? Because $500 million sets a certain benchmark.
It does. And the Dryflow presentation draws some specific comparisons, though obviously it's from their perspective. A key one seems to be moisture tolerance.
Ah, right. You mentioned water before.
Dryflow claims their system can handle ore with up to 12% moisture, whereas they suggest the new steel FDMS tech acquired by Vail needs the ore to be almost bone dry, less than 1% moisture.
Which would mean Vail potentially needs a big, energy-hungry drying step before the separation.
Potentially, yes. That could add significant cost and energy use, which Dryflow implies their process avoids or minimizes.
Okay, what else?
Dryflow argues their on-belt solid-state magnetics have lower operating expenses compared to what they describe as New Steel's Air Force fluidization method, which they say uses a lot of energy.
Okay, energy efficiency is key.
Definitely. There's also a suggestion that Dryflow might handle slightly larger ore particle sizes efficiently, which could mean less grinding needed beforehand, another potential cost saving.
Right, less energy for grinding too.
In throughput. Dryflow is targeting 200 tons per hour with their commercial unit. The presentation notes that Vail, as of recently, was reportedly using multiple smaller 15-ton-per-hour units banked together to reach commercial scale.
So Dryflow is aiming for potentially better scalability and efficiency from the get-go.
That seems to be the implication they're making, yes. Lower energy draw, potentially higher throughput per unit, wider moisture tolerance. They position themselves as maybe the next generation compared to the tech Vail bought.
Interesting positioning. And financially, Dryflow is currently raising $8 million for a commercial pilot plant, aiming for that $3.5 per ton service fee.
Correct. And they project some fairly ambitious targets for installed production capacity and annual recurring revenue down the line.
And they're also chasing grants and things you said, non-dilutive funding.
Yeah, R&D tax incentives, CRCP grants, industry growth program grants, trying to leverage public funding alongside private investment. And they definitely point back to that $500 million Vail New Steel deal as a kind of valuation marker for the potential here.
It's a compelling reference point for sure. And they have an experienced team leading this.
The presentation lists the key people, backgrounds in mining, tech commercialization, finance, taking companies public. It looks like a team built to take this from concept to, hopefully for them, large-scale deployment.
Okay, so if we were to quickly sum up the compelling points Dryflow makes. Huge market driven by green steel needs.
Yep. Patented tech solving a major water problem.
Industry validation through testing and partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Big economic and environmental upsides.
Clear demand, especially in places like SA.
Unlocking stranded deposits.
Barriers to entry via their patents and know-how.
Strong team. Clear path forward.
And potential to apply it beyond iron ore, too. It does sound like a strong story.
It really does paint a picture of dry magnetic separation as a, well, potentially transformative solution. You've got the twin pressures of decarbonizing steel and dealing with water scarcity in mining.
And this technology seems to directly address both.
Exactly. Dryflow's approach, with the validation they've shown and the partnerships they're building, looks well-placed. And that Vail investment in New Steel years ago, it really does lend credibility to the whole sector's potential.
It definitely makes you think, doesn't it? With this urgent global need for cleaner resources,
yeah,
and the serious money involved in getting that high-grade iron ore, how fast could we actually see these waterless technologies become mainstream?
That's the multi-billion-dollar question, isn't it?
And, you know, stepping back, what other industries struggling with similar water or resource challenges might look at this kind of innovation? It opens up some broader questions about sustainability and resource security for the future.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating space and definitely one to keep a close eye on.